Podcast People's Podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think, and we're almost out of January. This is the last episode of this show this January, and it's been a tough one, so give yourself a little pat on the back for making it through. I don't know why it's felt so bad. I guess there's been no economic growth. There was a period where we didn't see the sky for about a week. I remember that. That was fun. There's been storms. Well, the Trump inauguration, people might feel differently about that. It was certainly something else to talk about. Rachel Fairbairn is joining us, rejoining us. Very popular with What Most People Think faithful. How's January been for you?
Do you know what? It's been all right, but it is getting to the end of it now, as we know, and I'm just a bit like, come on, let's wind this up now. Let's get it done. It's been all right, though. But I have to admit, the first few days of it, I was like, this is horrible. This is so depressing. And I always go through this sort of, I know it's a cliche to say it is depressing, and I sort of went through this phase of going, next year, we're going abroad for the month. Where I'm going to get this money from, I don't know.
There has been a unique confluence of circumstances, like the sense, I think for a lot of people, you know, most people were fed up with the Tories, but there was at least a sense that we had a new government, things might be a little bit better. And Labour, I think fair play to them, they sort of come in and said it won't, and they've let us know that very early. And that's good in a way, because we're under no illusions now about the next 4.5 years, that we've got rock bottom sentiment. So all we could do is kind of like, I mean, I noticed that I said just before we come on air that you've had a haircut. I mean, yeah. I described it as a bob.
You did.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's a bob, I'd say so.
And what was it? You went to hairdressers, you asked them to make it?
I said, make it chic and sharp, please.
Chic and sharp. And then I said that sounded like a hairdresser's in the north of England. You know, one of those like small town hairdressers that's always got a waiting list because it's
yes.
The only one.
There's a brilliant documentary on, I think it's on the iPlayer, and it's about hairdressers in Blackpool. It was filmed in like the 80s, 90s. It's brilliant. It's just a day in the hairdressers. And it's just all the older women coming in, chatting, having their hair done. That is what, to me, chic and sharp would be.
Yeah. Chic and sharp. Sorry, I haven't got any appointments till February. Oh, that's coming up next week, isn't it? I think we've all got a slightly camped northern woman inside of us. That's a weird way to put it. I'm just going to talk about subjects this week that we're going to talk about. One person we're not talking about this week, just for this week maybe, but no Elon. It's been so much Elon Musk at the beginning of this year. And what I found is, so I basically predicted in my New Year's show, I predicted that he'd go a little bit mad this year. I feel like that's kind of delivered to a point. And then also sort of criticised him for things that he said about Jess Phillips. And then I got shit off the right, Rachel. The right were coming at me. There were people in my DMs saying not threats, but slightly sinister stuff. And then last week, I didn't go as far in criticising him as some people on the left wanted. So then I had shit from the left. And I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna bench Elon for 1 week. I'm going to go, all right, Elon, you know when the manager goes, he's going to get himself sent off.
Yeah, he's a liability.
He's already been booked. You know what, Elon, just have a blow. But he's one of those people just feel, the people that feel most strongly about him, either positively or negatively, they can't have an objective discussion, so we will discuss other things. So in his place, Donald Trump, there's a person that doesn't inspire a particularly strong feeling. But there's a few bits of Donald news that actually relate to the UK. Donald Trump finally said Keir Starmer's name, which must have been a big buzz for Starmer. And we're going to talk about what he said in their most recent phone call. Rachel Reeves, now she's going for growth. Oh, by the way, I got criticism in a recent episode for asking whether the Rachel from Accounts nickname is sexist. And there wasn't a woman on the show. So now, not only have I got a woman, you're also called Rachel.
Yeah. I listened to that episode and I found it quite funny that people were saying that it was sexist. But I mean, didn't people say Rishi from Accounts? Do you remember when people said Dishy Rishi for a little bit? I hope those people are embarrassed. To be honest, no, I don't think it is sexist. I mean, the things that I find very sexist are the term Karen. That's sexist because that more or less says to women, shut up. You say anything, you're a Karen. But Rachel from Accounts, I don't complain.
I mean, that in a way, historically, is probably one of the most sexist things you could say to a woman. Don't complain.
Yeah, it's.
Can we have the vote? Oh, there she is, complaining again about not having the vote. They never stop, do they?
This is it now. If you're a woman over the age of 30 and something comes up and you have an issue, you go to reception to complain about something, you're a Karen straight away. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to complain. You're not allowed to say anything. So I've got a problem with the Karen term. But Rachel from Accounts, I don't see how that is in any way.
It could be a lot worse when you're in politics.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do with everybody, is it not? Everyone gets a little nickname, everyone gets, you know, a little dig or whatever, and I don't see why she should be not part of that. People used to say Rishi from accounts. I'm pretty sure people used to say that.
I think they were more obsessed with the fact that Rishi had a £300 sliders, was it, or a coffee cup or something. God. Do you remember, like, the left-wing press? They always used to go with Rishi. He's rich, you know. We go, yeah. And that's not my biggest problem with Rishi Sunak, right? Well, do you know how much money he's got? Yeah, well, look, you know, I hope that he finds a way of helping us have some of that wealth. But sadly, it wasn't a V for Rishi. We're going to talk a bit about, I'm trying to get a balance in this show. You know, Kemi Badenoch is not in the news much, but she did a big interview with Laura Koonsberg on Sunday, and she was asked her favourite Beatles song. So we'll be talking about that. Then, by the way, I've got so many blokes that listen to this that will sort of groan a little bit. But men's mental health, we're going to be talking about that. I haven't spoken about it for a while. And I'm going to be talking about a slightly more tangential view. You know, there's a lot of talk about men have got to check in with each other. And I'm going to ask the question, what happens when you check in and they don't want to tell you what's going on? So we might discuss techniques and whether or not even men are even possible, even capable of sharing on that level. And then in the Patreon-only section, there was another thing that Kemi Badenoch said, was that she didn't think that people under the age of 16 should have smartphones. So we'll be talking about whether or not that is a good idea. I mean, just a broad brush. I think people my age shouldn't have any phones at all. We're the fucking worst. Most people think. Okay, new patrons. So every once in a while, I do miss a name roast. And David Forster got in touch with me. So if you haven't heard your name roasted and you want to hear it roasted, do give me a DM message on Patreon. David Forster. So it's not Foster. He's put an R in there. Forster. Bit pretentious.
Yeah.
A bit pretentious. Do you reckon he is a Foster and he just wanted to be interesting?
Yeah, he wanted to stand out from the crowd, make a name for himself, and that name was Foster. Here he is.
You better be writing a novel once you put that R in your name. David Foster, you could work in, like, you could work in selling those weird insurances that you don't need. You know those ones, like pipe insurance?
Or he wanted to be an actor, and on Equity there was already be a David Foster, so he thought, I'll put an R.
Do you ever hear, like, an actor's name and immediately it just sounds like one of those ones that they've tried to be called? Remember, do you remember the actress Jacqueline Josser? I thought, no one's really called Jacqueline Josser.
Yeah, Jacqueline Josser.
You're blessed with a good name to begin with, right? Rachel Fairbairn does sound like... You sound like you'd be good for the period, the costume dramas.
Yeah, do you know, interestingly, I've never really thought about my name, but somebody did... I checked into a hotel the other day and the lad behind the counter, he went, oh... Your name sounds really posh.
It does.
I said, does it? And he went, yeah, it sounds really posh. And I was like, well, I don't think so. Unless he had my middle names on there, because my full name's Rachel Philippa Foley Fairbairn. Now, which sounds...
Fucking hell, Rachel.
I know, which sounds aristocratic. But my dad wasn't allowed to choose our first names. He got to choose our middle names. He got to choose Philippa. And my mum's surname is Foley, and my parents weren't married when I was born, so they just stuck both of the names in. But Foley as a middle name.
You know when your parents say all of your name when you're in trouble, that must have been horrible to Rachel Philippa Foley, all that time to realise, oh, fuck, I'm in trouble. I'm going to say all of those names every time I speak to you now. We got David Graham, who I think is a returning Patreon. David Graham, always hard to roast the double first name, guys. What would he be called on the D-Dog, DG, Director General? That's what I'd call him.
It sounds reliable.
Solid.
Solid guy, reliable, no messing. You know where you are with him.
Did deliver very solid and dependable sex.
I would say so, yeah.
He would have a little timer, foreplay, he'd go 7 minutes, and then he would go, right, change position.
You know what? You know you'd be back reading your Kindle within 7 minutes, that's what.
We've also got Caroline Day, who sounds like she starred opposite you in, like, a Jane Austen reboot.
Starring Rachel Feather and Caroline Day.
Caroline Day.
Oh, yeah.
The two minxy sisters in an Austen novel.
Yeah.
Richard Sanderson, directed by Richard Sanderson.
Oh, yeah. There's a new Richard Sanderson out.
There's a new Richard. And there was rumours of his on-set behaviour with both Rachel Fairbairn and Caroline Day, who then found out and scratched each other's eyes out. It was quite a scene.
Terrible.
Callum Dunn.
Nice Scottish-sounding Irish or Celtic Callum Dunn.
I like the way you just moved over the Irish Sea.
Yeah,
there.
Let's cover all areas.
You know, Trump renamed it the Gulf of America. There was some sort of way that Britain could rename some of the... So we've already got the English Channel. It would be a big shout, wouldn't it, to go Irish Sea and then start dicking around with that. Well, you know,
don't start messing now. Leave it.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, I've got no time for it.
And as a northerner, the North Sea, do you feel like that pays your people respect?
Well, it's cold and it's unpredictable, so yes, I would say. And keep it as the North Sea. Yeah.
Fine, we'll have more. I'll read out some more patrons because we've got quite a few. The patron community has never been bigger, so welcome. It's great to have so many people involved, getting the show early ad free and with bonus content. We'll do some more in the middle of the show. But Gavin Doig, there's no way I'm pronouncing that correctly. D-O-I-G. D-O-I-G, he sounds like something that Trump has just cancelled. We're going to have more D-O-I-G, none of that bullshit. Mr. President, it's D-E-I. None of that either. We're not doing any of it.
Doig sounds kind of onomatopoeic, doesn't it? Like it's the sound of a spring or something.
Or when he gets an erection. Doig. David Domain, our super patron, who keeps an eye on the show and previous week's content. So we talk about Scott Fitzgerald. F. Scott Fitzgerald. So we're saying these are another example of pretentious names in entertainment. His full name is Francis Scott Key Gerald. Sometimes middle initials are for show in showbiz. For instance, the T in Russell T. Davis isn't actually his name. Ooh. His name is Stephen Russell Davis.
Ooh, that's interesting.
He's always known as Russell Davis growing up, and he added the random initial T in his professional life. Oh, it's to distinguish himself from the namesake journalist broadcaster. Well, mine would be, I mean, yours would be a fucking, it would look like a Wi-Fi password, yours, but mine is Jeffrey F. Norcott. That's actually not bad. Jeffrey F. Norcott. That sounds consequential.
What's your middle name?
Frank.
Frank.
Oh, Frank Norcott would have been a much cooler name, full stop.
Frank Norcott. Yeah.
Frank Norcott will get you a shooter. I'll get you a shooter down the blind beggar. Tough guy. But instead, Jeffrey Norcott just sounds like he worked the last professional butler in Britain.
I'm reading a book about Frank Sinatra and the mafia at the moment, and Frank Norcott sounds like he could have been involved in some way.
He's wrapping up a flyover somewhere. you can still see his feet sticking out of the. I was going to say motorway, and then realised you can't say that in an American accent. The flyover, the freeway. We're talking about Canvey Island in Essex. I did the gig there recently. Have you been to Canvey Island?
I've not, but I know someone from there. That's close enough. And also, I read a book about the artist Hogarth when he went on a peregrination, as they called it, to Canvey Island with his mates. So I've never been, but...
It's an interesting place. The county of Essex, it's a proper island, just. It's got a fin shore. The county of Essex has more islands than any other English county. The largest of which is Foulness Island, which requires an MOD permit to visit. I mean, that's almost like advertising. We've got something dodgy here, by the way.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, exactly. Wear a hazmat. And Mercy Island is the most easterly inhabited island in the UK. Now, we also, you might already know, we were talking about the bee as a Mancunian symbol, obviously after the Manchester bombers. But David says that the bee has long been a symbol of Manchester. Didn't know this.
Yes.
The Visit Manchester website notes, in 1842, the early city fathers had to decide on a coat of arms, and it was a Victorian branding exercise.
Yes.
They included a globe with seven bees. So you obviously know. So was this a primary school thing around your way?
No. I sort of knew this all the time, and the bee was always featured on things. I think there's bees in the architecture of the town hall, I think, and things like that. I used to work at Tourist Information in Manchester, and people used to come in, never people from the UK, always people from abroad, and ask what's the significance of the bee, because they noticed it more than we did. And it's the worker bee for the symbol of industry and all that, you know, that kind of stuff. But no, I knew that. And it was only after the Manchester, that terrible thing, that the arena bombing that happened, that it became sort of well known. But I will say now, sick of the sight of it now.
Well, bees, overdone.
Oh, my God, I can't cope with it. I'm actually in Manchester now, and as much as I love it and I love being from here, if I see one more badly executed bee, I can't.
There's a thing where something old-fashioned gets a revival, and it's nice, isn't it? It links us to our past, and then it just becomes a standard thing, and then no one could sort of remember the link in the first place. It's like, do you remember like when gin had gone out of fashion?
Yes.
About 10 years ago. And then, because it was a real, like, your nan drank gin, and then gin come back. And then you look, it's fucking gin everywhere. There's nothing but gin. You're like, I get it.
Yeah.
Now we need to do a revival of Alco Pops. That would be the new trendy revival.
Well, they are coming back. Blue Wicked's back.
Is it?
It's back. Hooch is back.
I thought I'd seen more punch-ups outside pubs. That would be why, wouldn't it? All right, we're going to do the thank you and the fuck you. I'm going to do the thank you, and I've got to thank my wife for not freaking out a couple of times. So I've had quite a busy start to the year. You know what it's like being these days, being a comic, Rachel, polymath, podcast, writing, gigging. My brain's pulled in a lot of different directions. Oh, poor me. I can already hear it. But I had a lot of things pulling my brain different ways. And then I crashed the car recently. First time. Not a bad crash. So I will say this. I think I worked out I'd driven 500,000 miles without contacting another car. So that's just for my male pride. I needed to get that out there. But I was basically, I was driving forward and the guy in front of me, I thought he'd gone and I looked, checked that the car coming was turning left, but the guy in front of me stopped for some reason and then I went up him. The fucking damage done to my car compared to his, honestly, he had an old like E-Reg Golf, right? Solid as you like. I've got a modern car. My car honestly looked like it had been in like a 12-way pile-up on Spaghetti Junction. But so my wife is pretty cool about that. And then we got the courtesy car. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm at a gig in London. I've driven up to park at the station. And then I suddenly couldn't find the key for the courtesy car. And I was like, so it was gone 9 p.m. I was like, babe, is the little one in bed? She's like, yeah. I went, can you go up and just check that I haven't left the key in the thing? Turns out I had left the key and the thing open. And she didn't freak out about either of those. But I'm going to guess one of her WhatsApp groups was livelier than usual. Let's put it
absolutely
that way.
I would say so. You're the talk of the WhatsApp.
That does sometimes happen where you think you've got away with it with your missus. And then you see a woman that you vaguely know. She's like, remembered your keys today? You're like,
I can be very understanding. I'll be like, do you know what? It don't matter. You're under a lot of stress, blah, blah. Straight on the phone to your mum. Listen to this strapping. Guess what's happened? I honestly, that's it. It calm to the person straight on the phone.
Rachel, what's your fuck you?
If you're going to leave social media, can you just go? I can't take anymore. I'm moving over to Blue Sky. Okay, fine. Like that's not going to turn into a cesspit. You know, or like people saying about all the, you know, what Zuckerberg's doing to social media and all that kind of stuff. Fine. You don't have to be on social media. The thing is, I don't want to be like this, right? I don't want to sound like this. But I just think it's not a human right that you're on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Mm. Unfortunately, they're the people that own it and they're the people that are in control of it. So if you don't like that, go somewhere else. But don't announce to me that you're going. Just go.
It is a bit like for people for some time have been talking like their regimes. So they have to announce stuff or they have to say to you, while I often disagree with the words of so-and-so, you go, you don't have to remind me what your party line is. You're just a human that could say random conflicting shit.
Well, it's like at some point, Twitter or X or whatever it's called, I'll go off there because I just think, oh, this is a right load of old rubbish, you know, and I don't think it's useful for anything for me anymore. So I'll just go. But I am so sick of, follow me over here. I've gone over to this place. Fine.
I do think at the moment there is, I would say if you're a liberal progressive, this is actually the worst time to leave. If your worry is that these views are getting like, but you need to be there for the fight back, right? Because it used to be left leaning.
Yeah.
Now it's right leaning. It could change again. But I guess what they're being exposed to is actually what most people think. Hey?
There he is.
All right. After that shameless plug of the Tyler Show, let's talk about politics. And first up, let's talk about Trump finally mentioning Keir Starmer's name. So, yeah, Donald, I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday, there was an unexpected name check out of the mouth of the Donald for Keir Starmer. Ooh. And he sort of said, you know, he's a good guy. It was very general. It was probably the more usual presidential thing I've ever seen from Trump, which is he says what you got to say. Because at the end of the day, we share loads of intelligence with him. Militarily, we're aligned. We've got fucking US bases here. Whatever Donald Trump or Elon Musk might want to say about, you know, cultural issues, those things are still those. I don't know why I said that like a 1920s Cockney. Those things still matter. So he mentioned, he said he's doing a good job. You know, we don't see things the same. He's liberal, I'm conservative. But yeah, he's a good guy. I felt bad for him, you're his brother. And stuff like that. And what was funny about it was there was a tweet surfaced that Keir Starmer had sent in 2019. It was after Trump had endorsed Boris Johnson. Starmer said, an endorsement from Donald Trump tells you everything you need to know about Boris Johnson, completely unfit to be Prime Minister. You go, well, funny that, Keir, because 2025 and you just got an endorsement. So does it say the same or is it just fucking politics?
Ooh, wow. I'd rather have, and I don't want to say this, you know, Donald Trump there is being reasonable. Like, I think, can we have a level of professionalism across the board? That's what I always think about things. Like, yeah, that's the way to behave. Like Keir Starmer, when he did the, you know, he's the Prime Minister of the country, he does a video to say, warm congratulations to Donald Trump on his inauguration. That's the way you should be behaving.
That's how we do
business.
Even
if you don't like somebody, you don't agree with them, fortunately you've got to work with them, you've got to show a modicum of respect. So I'd rather have, because I think also what we're used to is the world of social media, we're used to such sort of terrible, you know, mudslinging, horrible sort of language being used and people just being generally unpleasant. I think, well, that's how people should be interacting.
Yeah, more grown up. I mean, I mean, Facebook memories now is kind of the way I live my life. I want to know what the fuck was happening on this day 9 years ago. And there was one where it reminded me, I was really annoyed. Well, you know, when Theresa May went to visit Donald Trump, like her first visit was 2017, and people in this country are going, you cut him out, boycott him because of what he said about the Muslim travel ban and all this. And I went on Question Time and I got a round of applause just for saying maybe we shouldn't freeze out our biggest strategic partner. And it was a great era for me in many ways. I could just say really obvious things and get a my God, that's so refreshing that somebody said that. And when she went to visit him, I don't know if you remember, but like he was talking about coming out of NATO and she actually had influence on him to say that he was going to actively say he was going to be in NATO. But for a brief moment when they were walking down, right, for the photo call, they held hands. Do you remember that? Like when they held hands briefly.
I don't remember.
Well, they held hands. She did not initiate it. He fucking did it. But then, because like then Twitter was all left-leaning. Look at this. They all zoomed in. Look at this. We're in bed with a fascist. Look at her. She couldn't wait to hold his hand. You go, yeah, but NATO though. But they're still in NATO. That's good. Or all right, yeah, let's talk about the holding hands thing. So I suppose what we're seeing, you're right, is we're seeing just a lot of people's historical hypocrisies are getting exposed.
I'd rather people have good relationships with someone that you don't necessarily agree with and you see as a potential nuisance or danger. I'd rather have that than the opposite, you know? I think you have to discuss things with people you don't agree with. You have to find out. You have to sort of tell them your point of view. That's the whole thing. It's like Keir Starmer, Donald Trump, two different people with different views. There you go, Donald Trump. What did he say? I don't want to say that Donald Trump is being reasonable. What did he say? I don't agree with, you know, a lot of what his policy of it. And that's how it should be.
Donald Trump is the uncle that you have to spend Christmas with.
But on the flip side, I just hope Keir Starmer does. I just think that's the way to behave, you know, that doing the video, wishing him well, even though he didn't mean it, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Just behave in sort of a professional manner.
It's when they meet, though.
It's not going to last, is it?
It's going to be really hard for him. I think it's going to be like, you know, when you see a bloke on a stag do that is just not his speed at all. Absolute fish out of water. You know, he arrives at the airport, Weatherspoon. Some of the boys are already doing Charlie in the Bogs. He's like, what the fuck have I walked into? What most people think. We're going to talk about Rachel Reeves now, because a lot of the political news happens on a Sunday, so she was on telly as well, and she was... Well, I think what's happened with old Rachel from Accounts is that she sort of realised that... Well, they came in, and the idea was, let's just say how bad the economy is. How bad is it? Let's say it's worse. Let's say it's the worst since World War II. Let's say it's the worst since, like, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Since the meteor took out the dinosaurs. Let's say it was worse since then. And then what happened was people sort of listened. So if you keep saying that, people are going to go, oh, shit, the economy's bad. Maybe I cut back my spending. Business sentiment took a hit. Everything's taken a hit because Labour wanted to create this political framework that they could make their decisions. So now they're going, oh, shit, growth. Let's have some growth, right? Great idea. And she's now loosely committed herself to the idea of a third runway at Heathrow. Now, I don't know about you, Rachel. I feel like that has been discussed my whole fuck it. It feels like one of those perma news stories. It's up there with, is coffee bad for you? Or does the odd glass of red wine do you good?
Yeah.
Should we have a third runway?
Yeah, that seems like something that is around all the time. You know, in Manchester when I was growing up, there was always like, there's another runway at Manchester Airport. They're talking about doing that. They're going to knock down these houses. That's all. It's constantly, north or south, there's always a debate about another runway. But the Heathrow one, that does feel omnipresent, doesn't it?
But it also, if we build it, we'll have to get a new story in there. It's just one of these debates that comes around. Look, I get if you live there, you know, it's a nightmare if you live there. But one of the things that she said was that with, you know, with pollution, with airline fuels and, you know, increased efficiency and environmental sort of modifications to aircraft, it's not as bad. I go, yeah, but I think if you live there, it's probably, you probably not even think about the pollution that much. You're going, that fucking plane's going over.
Yeah, I imagine it would be quite stressful.
But, you know, don't move to Heathrow. I suppose there's the other thing. If you grew up, I've got empathy for people that live there throughout it getting busier. But, like, if you live in that area, it's like people that buy flats outside the Ministry of Sound and then moan about the noise.
Well, I mean, I live in Walthamstow and the air traffic is pretty continual over there. Like, you're constantly noticing it. And some days I'm like, oh, that plane's low. Look at that. So that's in Walthamstow. So I imagine at Heathrow it must be just... Yeah, but you can't move there and then complain about it. That's the thing, isn't it?
Well, have you ever lived somewhere that does have natural background noise? So on the council estate I lived on in Wimbledon, there is one. Get over it. People don't think that there is. It sounds like an oxymoron. There is one. And it was right by the train line that goes through, like, Clapham Junction, Earlsfield, Vauxhall into London. Really busy train line. So there was trains all the time, like, virtually, you know, till quite late. And then I remember when we moved to a council house in Mitcham, there was no noise and none of us could sleep the first week. It's amazing and do get used to.
Yeah, Manchester, when I was growing up, we lived on a main road. It was constantly busy and I'd never noticed this until people came. The house used to shake if a lorry went past and I'd not noticed. And I was like, oh, right. And then I moved. I was like, oh, my God, it was so noisy. And it's only till you go that you think, oh, how did I live like that?
It's almost a metaphor for childhood, isn't it? You know, when you go out with somebody that has a more adjusted family and then you see how they do Christmas and you go, oh, no, there's been no shouting yet. No one's been made to go and stand in the garden for a time out.
Or they sit at a table to eat the dinner and you're like, what?
Yeah.
You sit at a table.
But how can you watch Catchphrase from here? I was trying to think of an idea for a guaranteed economic boom. Now, I'm going to say it again, working from home. Now, it would provide an economic boom if you said to all public workers, right, what is it, 3 days a week they've got to be in office at the moment? Mm-hmm. Let's take that up to 4. And I know there'll be people throwing their fucking podcast device around. Take it up for 4. And the boom would literally come from sandwiches. The more sandwiches, it would be, they'd call it the Pret boom.
Yeah, the Pret boom, yeah.
Pret's prices could come down as well. We could all win, you know, supply and demand, more customers.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm terrible with anything like this. Anything to do with economics or money, I am clueless. What could I suggest? I was thinking, like, maybe get nightlife back again, but then no one wants to get people going back out, you know, for a night out. No one wants to do that anymore.
Do you know, I actually went to a night club because I've been doing the daytime thing recently. So we've been out of beers and I thought I'd just go and step into a night at night time. And then I was only in there a couple of hours and then I got home at 5 a.m. I thought, ooh, that is why everyone stopped doing this. It took me a couple of hours to get back. Like, but I thought, no, yeah, nightlife, I don't, it's really weird that it didn't occur to us for so many years that you could just do it during the day.
I know, it's popping up all the time now. It's so much better. Do you know, every time I'm out gigging now, like I was in Brighton at the weekend, I wasn't on stage till like 9:45 at night, and I thought, this could have been done at 5:30. There's no reason that this is on now. Like, there's no need for this. There you go, get the afternoon economy going.
Get the afternoon.
Yeah, and get people back into the office. And then there's exciting things for them to do straight after work.
So there you go. If Rachel from Cows is listening, forget the third runway. Just get people buying sandwiches and going clubbing at maybe 6 p.m. All right, Kemi Badenoch. So she is desperately trying to cut through and for people to know who she is and also have a positive opinion for her. And so she did this big interview with Laura Kunzberg. Recently, she did that one where it turned out she hated sandwiches and she eats steak at her desk. This one, the big takeaway, I know she said stuff about immigration and, you know, people should integrate, come into this country and, you know, all stuff that I think there'll be a wide audience for. But there was a lot of surprise when she was asked, what is your favourite Beatles song? Do you know what her answer was?
Go on, tell me.
We All Live in a Yellow Submarine, which seems quite soft for Kemi Badenoch.
But why ask her, is she a Beatles fan? Well, clearly not.
Well, This was the thing. I think Laura Koonsberg also asked Rachel Reeves what was her favourite one. And Rachel Reeves, in fairness, looked a bit surprised by, you know, like she was like, well, hey, Jude, but I don't know what Rachel Reeves then said. She's like, I'm more into sort of industrial techno, really, kind of, you know, I'm more into Paul Kalkbrenner and, you know, some of the Munich set.
Well, first of all, it's very presumptuous that Kerry Badenoch would like the Beatles. Maybe she doesn't. You know, maybe, why don't you say, what's your favourite album? That's a better question. Ask her that. Oh, what's your favourite song?
But that's interesting. You say she might not like it, because then that's your news story, isn't it? Kemi Badenoch hates the Beatles. What does it? What else does she hate about Britain?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, it is not the best Beatles song, as we all know.
Mm.
But then again, if she likes it, she likes it. Who am I to tell anybody, be they a Tory, be they a Liberal, who am I to tell anybody what music they should like? If she likes that song, she likes it. What can we do? What relevance does that have to anybody?
Yeah, it was sort of odd, because it was almost like it was being asked as though they're the current hip happening band.
Yeah. I mean, what I would have liked to have heard is, what do you think about the Oasis reunion, Kemet?
Yes.
There's a better question.
Yeah, exactly. If you was a traitor, would you be a traitor or faithful?
There you go. They're better questions.
I think you, by the way, do you watch Traitors?
I watched the last series for one episode.
I think, would you be a traitor? I think you'd make a great traitor, and I mean
I'd
that
love
as a
to be a traitor.
Yeah, I think you could pull it off completely.
100% I would. That, if I was playing that game, I'd want to be a traitor. And if I didn't get to be, I wouldn't play it.
How much fun would it be? You know what? I think I was saying this on the Patreon-only podcast I did last week. Was it really undermines the idea that gut instinct is something we should trust? Because every single week you get these people going, I just feel it in my gut. I know it in my gut. And they are 90% wrong. I think it's the most useful social study we've ever done into gut instinct. What's your feeling about gut instinct? Do you tend to follow it?
I'm terrible. I tend to be so anxious about things and make terrible decisions, and I can never take advice off anybody. My gut instinct is 99% of the time wrong, and I have to talk myself out of it. So, no, I have to look at things, sort of take a step back and then sort of process.
My gut instinct is normally that I'm hungry. You know what I mean? That's the main instinct. Yesterday, I realised I spent a day at home yesterday, and all I was thinking about was when I'd next be able to eat.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I've just finished my breakfast, and I go, oh, what should I have for my dinner?
You know, I sometimes go to sleep thinking about what cereal I'm going to have.
Yes. I go to, because I love drinking tea. I might have mentioned this before. Love a cup of tea. Drink about 10, 12 cups a day. Sometimes I get in bed, and I brush my teeth, and I'm going to sleep, and I think, I can't wait to wake up in the morning and have a nice cup of tea.
That is the most northern thing you've ever said.
Well, you see, that's why I'd be a good traitor. I'd just turn on that northern sort of charm, because everyone thinks we're stupid. I'd just be like, oh, no, who do you think's the traitor?
Oh, I just like tea. That's all I like.
I'm just happy if I've got a nice cup of tea.
Little old Rachel, Penelope, Philippa, Feb. Okay, a quick hype here. So first up, yes, my comedy special Basic Bloke is still on ITVX. Do please watch that. Share it. I think underrated is people just recommending, talking to someone and saying, oh, I think you would like this.
Mm.
So please do recommend it. Some gigs coming up. Obviously, the Work in Progress leg is nearly sold out, but the tour will be announced soon. I've got... there's a Jeff Norcott and Friends gig this Wednesday in Bethnal Green at the Backyard. I've got one next month in Leeds at the Wardrobe. And then there are a few of the Northern dates of the Work in Progress leg still with tickets available. We've got a few more patrons to welcome. We've got Emma Louise Robinson. There's another one from the costume drama set.
Oh, yes.
Was definitely. She good to work with, Emma?
She was a joy.
She's just so brave. Did she do brave work?
She was brave. She was so brave. So interesting to watch, and a joy of a
her
human.
How was her process?
Well, I can't speak for her. You'd have to get her on the show, I'm afraid.
The worst thing in the world is watching actors talk about acting. No, I don't want to hear a word about. I'd rather hear whether or not you like Yellow Submarine, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as brave work. Okay.
I also feel the same about comedians talking about comedy, you know, podcasts where people really go in depth. I'm like, this is boring.
Oh, yeah.
To hear people talk about comedy so seriously, like they're changing something and it's really important, it just makes me feel a bit sick.
You know, it's that old line about it's like comedy, talking about comedy is like dissecting the frog. What happens? The frog dies.
Yeah.
We should never do it. It is what it is. Simon Thompson, he sounds like he belatedly got a BAFTA in his career.
And everyone was really happy for him.
I was just so happy for Simon, because It was such a transform. He put on 2 stone. If you put on weight for a role, oh, fucking hell.
He put on 2 stone and played a paedophile, and now he has his awards, and we're so happy for him. We're so happy for him. He can't lose the weight now, but we're so happy for him.
Yeah, no, he's on his way out now because of the weight. But then, such brave work. Ian Johnstone. With an E on the end. Do we have to say Johnstone? That would annoy me. It'd be like. Do you hang out with David Forster? Do you just add in little letters in?
The extra letter guys.
Do you know, weird, that Callum guy had the double M's as well. So I think
we've
got a little posse of extra letter guys, bit extra. And then finally, J. Cole, who I'm pretty sure is a rapper or a footballer.
J-A-Y, J. Cole.
J. There was a period. Is J still a cool name for? I always remember when I was younger, J was. What's the minimum number of letters you can have and something still be a name? I think 3 is about it, isn't it?
That's good. I like that. J. Cole.
You better be good looking with that name as well, because that name is writing checks that your face better be out of cash. Just rehype your stuff, Rachel. You got this brilliant new podcast with Paul McCaffrey. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Glad Rags. So me and Paul McCaffrey, good pals, we wanted to do a podcast about Nights Out. Get the economy back going. Maybe we'll do afternoons out. And what we do, we get a guest on and we curate their perfect night out. So it can be any year, anywhere, any people. Some people are very unimaginative, which is quite interesting. I'm quite surprised. People just go, it's now and my friends are with me, which is quite sweet, but you can go anywhere.
I'm going to guess that those are middle-aged people with parents.
But you know what? A few times, yes, it's now, and we're just staying at home.
Friday, and I'm doing quiz night down the pub, and we're just out. That's all it is, Rachel.
Fine, and there's no hangover, and we wake up at 10 a.m. and we've had a lie-in. That's pretty much it. But it's out now wherever you listen to podcasts. And it's just really good fun. We've had like Sean Keaveney's been on. We've got Kyle Donnelly this week coming up. We've had Darren Harriott's been on. Tiff Stevens. It's just really good fun.
Good concept. Yeah. No, it sounds like a lot of fun. Do check that out. Remind us of the name.
Glad Rags
with Rachel, Philippa, Elizabeth. I'm just trying to think of other posh women's names.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk a bit of male mental health. Now, don't scrub through this bit, okay, lads, because we're going to try and keep it light. It's going to start off serious, but we will try and keep it light. So there was just a recent event in one of my friends' lives recently that reminded me about, you know, how it can go with blokes, you know, when things go wrong. And there's always that thing of, like, adverts where they say, sort of like, you got to check in with your mates, you got to check in with your mates. And I've parroted that to a point. But then I sort of thought, there was a comment that I had in relation to a clip that I posted, and the clip was about how blokes don't know enough about each other's lives. And this guy, it was a very funny response. He said that his wife said, oh, have you heard about Gary? And he's like, no. And he said, oh, his wife's left him. He got a virus, and then the virus turned into pneumonia. He's been in hospital 2 weeks, you know, get in contact with him. And then the guy said, so I texted him. I said, how are you? And after 2 hours, he responded by saying, not bad, you? Right? So... Well, I suppose what I'm getting at is that you can check in and you can ask, but there is always that difficulty of whether or not they'll tell you. Now, you are you're a straight woman, as far as I know, and you've dated men. How have you got any techniques for getting them to talk about stuff?
It is hard. It's really, really hard. I don't know how you do it. I mean, unless you make it in some sort of game, that's one thing that I could... Or it's, you know, you have to go in, you win something at the end of it, a cash prize, that might be helpful. Or they do it like fantasy football.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My boyfriend's always on that fantasy football. That's the main thing they talk about. The main thing my boyfriend does, he talks to his mates, but they play online games together. And they then do fantasy football. That's the two things. So if we can incorporate into that. But what I would say is, like, blokes, listen, we always know when something's wrong because you're very hard to be around.
Well, a brooding presence in the house. Yeah.
When someone's struggling, particularly a bloke, that they are so hard to be around. And you notice, and you know, you can only ask so many times because you don't want to poke the wasp's nest. You know, you don't want to get someone angry. But the fact is, like, this is genuine truth. If you just say whatever is the matter with you. And once you've said it, that's the worst it's ever going to be because it's out there now. Hmm. Once you say it, you lift that weight off you. And whether you like it or not, people won't treat you like a child. You know, they'll treat you, you know, we're like, you all right? How are you feeling today? That kind of thing. And you know, just say what the thing is that's wrong with you, because it's just that stigma around people thinking that it's unmanly or...
As you were just talking there, when you would just say it, I thought that's quite like a good, potentially an advertising campaign.
Just say it.
But then I sort of thought I could suddenly see Sadiq Khan getting hold of that slogan and then the advert being like this impossibly diverse group of people. Like, oh, yeah, there it is, another friendship group of lads. And look at that, every single thing is represented. And then it's like someone going, just say it. And then the guy is like, you know, I'm just really conscious of my CO2 emissions. And it,
I'm not living sustainably enough. Most
people think. I also wonder if, like, you know, at this point, we're going through a period of our history where we're saying that men essentially need to be more feminised and they need to talk more. What if we one day discover that we're not supposed to be, right? Like, like there's a bit of our brain that we just don't have this. And we feel bad all these years that we were trying to get it out of us. Because I sort of thought maybe, you know, once upon a time, if you were on the hunt, and by the way, I'm aware that when men refer to hunter-gatherer things, we always imagine we'd be successful hunters rather than dossers or just hiding in the woods, hoping that a dead animal would just show up and we could pretend that we killed it. But showing sensitivity when there's just three fellas and you're away from the settlement and, you know, like you kill a deer and then one of the lads is going, oh, but oh, she was a mother, and you're going, I might have to kill you if you carry on talking like this. You know?
I do think just say it. That is the main thing. Just blurt it out. Whatever it is, say it.
Say it.
Because once you've said it, haven't you? At that moment when you've said what is bothering you, it cannot get any worse.
That's no, and it's true. It is true. It's sometimes it's a physical thing, and it's almost like getting the words up your windpipe. You're like, go on, keep going. Oh, it's in my throat now.
Yeah.
And they're coming out, and then you go, well, why am I holding on to it? It's maybe because I don't want to admit it. I don't know. It's fucking complicated. I mean, but there is, I'm just conscious of, I really do believe that men need to check in with each other. Well, it's not checking with each other more, it's telling each other stuff. Right, it's always like, well, if your mate could check in with you 10 times in a month, right, if you don't tell him anything, there's no point, right?
Yeah.
It's actually on you to say, lads, this is what's going on with me. Maybe that's the other, like, it's actually your responsibility, you know. But I'm also conscious of expecting too much of men. And then, you know, so men don't exchange enough information about their lives. Could we also say that maybe women exchange too much? Could we have like a rationalization? If we're getting held accountable for our shit, can we go, you guys, maybe if you took an hour off, you could have a hobby.
Oh, I mean, to be honest with you, I do not shut up. Like with my mates, I'm going out with my mate later on. We've already discussed everything we need to talk about. We've said everything over WhatsApp. We've done the voice notes. We'll get there. We'll have to find something to talk about, and we will. Like, we just...
Is it fun, though?
Yeah.
What's fun about it? I don't understand.
I'd say 99% of what I talk about with my female friends, we're just bitching.
Right.
We just like, seeing that over there, I've seen the state of him there. But what's she doing with that on that? I've seen the state of that. Have you heard about this? Oh, I can't believe it. Like, me and my best mate, we write an agenda before we meet up. So she brings her notepad. I message her, go, put this on the agenda. Put this name on the agenda.
An agenda.
Maybe this is what guys need.
No, I would feel oppressed by that. I would feel anxious about that. I would, just the idea that I was expected to talk about a specific thing. I went out with the lads like last Saturday. We were out, did all day, and we had a great time. You know, we went to football. There was various activities. I mean, it's just activities. We just need activities. I mean, you see these things that spring up now. You know, like you get Flight Club, which is like a really good darts club. You know, there's indoor cricket things. There's even now places where where blokes can go and throw like kind of toy axes at a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like literally men doing anything other than talking about their feelings.
But this is what I don't understand. To me, my boyfriend playing an online game about hunting ghosts,
yeah,
or having a really serious debate about why Saka isn't playing, to me is more deeply embarrassing than a man saying to me, I feel really miserable at the minute and I don't know what to do.
I want to respond to what you just said, but I am now wondering why Saka isn't playing. Okay, right, for the patrons now, we're going to be discussing, should under-16s be banned? I sound like a Jeremy Vine show now. Should we ban under-16s from having mobile phones? For everybody else, we'll see you at the end bit of the show. Okay, so that is the end of the show. And if you had the Patreon-only section there, it should be said that the last recommendation we gave is not fully legal advice, okay? We are not fully recommending that children be able to do that. And Augustus Atticus Fairburn. Just remind us, the podcast is Glad Rags. Yeah. And then everyone should, of course, check out your social media. Anything else that people should be drawn to?
I'm on tour from the 6th of February.
6th of February.
6th of Feb starts in Oxford. And there's loads of dates on my website, rachelfairburn.com. I will be coming somewhere near you, and it's the last time I'm telling you that I'm ever going on tour with so many tour dates.
In future tours, she might not be coming somewhere near you, frankly. She's going to really slim it down to the top performers, okay? So do go out and see Rachel. Rachel's a brilliant stand-up. And Rachel, thanks very much for being on the show this week. We're getting the show out slightly earlier this week, so there's every chance there could be a breaking news. Something tells me that Donald will have said something about something.